Well, I've been watching and reading stories in preparation for today. Many of the recordings I watched were interviews with war veterans and current soldiers from around the world. And quite a few topics arose as you listen to these brave men and women speak. Topics including pride, the pride that comes from serving their country, the loved ones that they wrote to and that inspired them to keep going, the struggle of reintegrating back into normal patterns of life, and many more, as you can imagine. However, the primary topic that arose was that of death, the heavy burden that soldiers must bear, whether that be fulfilling orders that lead to taking another's life, the grief that comes from the death of a comrade, the fear that niggles in their minds, could today be my final day? Will I end my days in these muddy, war-torn trenches, or is there something beyond this? Well, this morning we've heard the names of soldiers from this village killed in battle. We recall not only them, but the others they represent, the 37 million lives lost across both world wars. We're aware, of course, of the battles still raging on in different parts of the world, where people, both armed forces and civilians, breathe their last. Today, then, is one of those rare occasions in our culture where we stare death in the face, where we acknowledge the reality of our own mortality, and that our present freedom came at an immense cost, and it's still preserved by loss of life. We've all lived in relative peace thanks to another's death. We've all been marked by death's bitter sting. We all have someone to grieve today, someone to remember. Now, there's been a quest launched by scientists recently to gain a better understanding of human life. And there seems to be more of an appreciation nowadays that we are more than just flesh and bones, but holistic beings. And our health depends on our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. In fact, the NHS even admits that supporting their patients' spiritual and religious needs is integral to a patient's overall care. And if this is true, what does it mean for us on Remembrance Day? Well, we've been called upon to face up to our own physical fragility this Remembrance Sunday, but perhaps we should also consider our spiritual frailty. Our Bible passage today, which came from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, speaks plainly about death, this time not in a physical sense, but spiritually, where we have all rebelled against God and made him our enemy, rejecting the Creator's peace and through our disobedience becoming deserving of wrath. It relays quite accurately the heavy burden of this spiritual death on human life. There is conflict within ourselves, torn in different directions by our own thoughts and desires. I think back to the interviews I mentioned earlier, and many of these veterans were undoubtedly affected by their experiences, unable to find rest because of the actions they had to take. But there are also people in our own village who have restless hearts, those who feel desperately lonely, who have a sense that no one else knows what they're going through, those that are searching for peace. Is that you today? Is that someone you know? Your neighbor, your family member, your friend? You find yourself sitting in your own muddy trenches, the trenches of your own heart, feeling helpless, asking, is there something beyond this? And our passage from Ephesians would suggest that yes, there is. That while we are in those trenches of our own hearts, Jesus appears in love and declares that there is something beyond this moment. It's him. It's his kindness. He can bring comfort, and in his mercy, he can bring peace. In his love, he can take what is spiritually dead and revive it back to life. And it doesn't stop there. Jesus says that there's something even more beyond this, that there's hope for eternity, as we've just sang about in our hymn. Beyond the pain of physical death, beyond the restlessness of spiritual frailty, there is freedom with him forever. Now, I'm wondering if there's anyone in that section of the church who can tell me what festival, what celebration is going to be coming up pretty soon in December. Can anybody tell me? You were first. Go on. Christmas. Anyone heard of that festival? Anyone heard it mentioned? Yes. Are you expecting some gifts? Some presents? Yeah. Amazing. Something to look forward to, because we all know, don't we, that after today, it's all about Christmas. Anyone got their tree up already? Not quite. But look, Christmas is all about this hope that I'm speaking about this morning. And it's absolutely lived out in the Christmas story. God sending Jesus to be born into the muddy places, a stable, in fact, facing instant violence and threat. And all the way through his life, we see him getting alongside people, defending the weak, calming the restless, helping the spiritually frail. And if he can do it for them, I believe that he can do it for you. And he can do it for the people in this village. So today I've asked you to face up to your physical mortality. Sorry about that. As we remember those who lost their lives in battle. But I've also asked you to look at your own spiritual frailty. And if today you find yourself sitting in your own muddy trenches, feeling frail, feeling restless, perhaps you can make this next prayer your own. Why don't you repeat the words quietly to yourself or say them in your own mind as I speak them aloud? Perhaps you want to pray them for someone you know as well. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. So lead us by your Spirit, that in this life we may live to your glory, and in the life to come, enjoy you forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive with you now and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.